Just getting the recording started. I'm going to do a quick roll call, and then we'll continue with the Dalats, Jurassic, Carlos, and Boudoir.
Please go ahead. This afternoon's conference call is now being recorded.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's JAS workgroup call on Tuesday, the 5th of April, we have Carlton Samuels, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Tijani Benjema, Alex Gokuru, Sentra Suknanan, Elaine Pries, Avery Doria, Dave Kisundwayal, Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Carla Valente, Glenn de Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies today from Sébastien Bachelet, and we are still trying to get hold of Carlos Aguirre, Rafik Damak, and Boudouin Chombé. If I could please remind everyone to state your names when speaking. This is for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Carlton.
Thank you, Gisela. Hello, everyone. Welcome. The roll call is there. The proposed agenda is on the Connect Adobe Connect page. Is there any variation that any member would propose?
Yes, I don't see how we can. I raise my hand.
Go ahead.
Okay. I don't see how we will discuss the point three, since nothing was added on the wiki. Nothing was sent on the list concerning the criteria. So, I am so embarrassed.
Yes, I saw that too, Tijani. But you know how it is with these things. People may still have things that they wish to say. So we put it in as a standard part of the agenda.
Okay.
If there is nothing to say, we move on.
Okay.
Well, Rafik is not on, and Andrew is not on.
Elaine is here. She's with them.
Elaine is with them. So I'm moving to number two, which was the report from Rafik and Andrew and Lane. Is there anything new to bring to the group's attention?
Did I just hear that Andrew's not on yet?
No.
I just got on.
You just got on. Oh, good.
I apologize.
Andrew, you're on. Have we made any more progress with the GAC?
Hi, Colton. Hello? This is Sundra.
One moment, Sundra. One moment. I'm waiting to hear from Andrew.
Oh, I've not heard anything back from Rafik.
Okay. All right, Sundra.
Hi, Carlton. I did get an email from Alice, and she said that she has circulated she says apologies for not being able to attend, and she said that she circulated to the GAC a request to comment on the definition of developing countries and needy applicants. She said it would be ideal if our working group could develop a definition that the GAC and other stakeholders could comment or input on. She said as well that the GAC is still working on the San Francisco GAC advice on new GTLDs, and they will share it with us as soon as it's ready.
Okay. Thank you, Sintra. So the GAC has put the ball back in our play, and essentially what they've said is, well, why you fellas go ahead and do your definitions, and then when you've finished it, you can pass it to us to be critiqued. So that puts paid to any clarification that we might further wish to, unless somebody has something that they wish to say here on.
Just a clarification, if I could, Carlton?
Sure. Go ahead, Andrew.
I guess the issue that I'm trying to figure out, maybe Sintra's conversation will shed a little bit of light. Are they are they? They're not expecting that we're waiting for them, right? They're going to get us whatever they're going to get us on whatever time frame they have.
Thank you.
Is that correct?
Thank you. Bye. Yes.
Yes, that's my understanding of the communique. The communique says that we're not waiting on them. They know this. What we had asked them to do is to provide input to defining what they mean by countries, a set of criteria for countries to qualify for support. And what they have come back with is to say, well, we don't have one at the minute. What you might do is continue with your criteria definition, and when you have defined something, when you have the criteria set out, send it back to us for comment, which is good.
Carlton, may I? It's Elaine.
Is it Elaine? Yes, of course. Go right ahead, Elaine.
Okay.
And I see Tajani. Tajani, you're afterwards.
No, Elaine before.
Is what I'm saying. You're after her.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, so Carlton, you just said that they want us to define criteria for a country. So now we're talking about a national government.
No. They didn't say we should define a criteria for country. What I heard them say is that we should go on with our criteria, defining our criteria for support, and we can pass it back to them like every other member of the community, and they will make comments on it.
Okay.
I read that not to bind us to having to defining specific criteria of a country.
Okay. Is there a specific document you're looking at when talking about this? Do you have some?
There was an email that was sent from Alice Monia to, you might recall that Tracy Hackshaw from Trinidad and Tobago and Alice Munir were detailed to be a part of this working group by the GAC. And there was a email that was sent to Tracy and to Alice with my knowledge from Sintra.
Okay.
We can share that with the group.
That'd be great.
I think Sintra just put it up on the Adobe Connect, but we can also forward it to the mail list.
Yeah, this is just the last email she sent to me, and this was sent yesterday.
So the way I read that text, it doesn't say that we have to define specific ones for things. As I said, let's define your needy applicants criteria and let's comment on it, which is fine by me. Tijani, I'm sorry to keep you.
Yes, thank you. I think that since San Francisco, we added Tracy to the group and we added perhaps other members of the GAC to the group. So they normally have to attend our meetings and to discuss with us if they have input to give us. In fact, the question of developing of least developed countries was brought by Tracy in the San Francisco meeting. You remember?
Yes.
So we normally can deal with what they give us as inputs, and now they are not attending our meetings. So I don't think we should send them anything. Normally they have to come and to discuss with us. We need them to be with us, but we cannot run after them.
Tijani, this is Carlton, just responding to you quickly. I agree with you in principle, but in an abundance of caution, because some people were quite concerned about what the GAC is, I think we bent over backward. This email was sent, from my knowledge, to actually trigger a response because we were not getting a response on the call, and it was sent with my knowledge. The response suits me fine. It's on the agenda. It's on the record, and it essentially tells me what we wish to do. So it was sent with for a specific reason, and we got a response that is perfectly within the working, you know, framework that I expect. Avery.
Yeah, thanks. While I agree that we shouldn't be chasing after them, I think that the whole getting GAC members to participate in working groups is still really new to them, and so I don't see any harm, especially since we see them as the, perhaps the people that are championing this work in the final negotiations with the board on the new GTLD program, that if we find we have something to update them with, you know, the chairs shouldn't feel free to update them. I realize that, you know, it would be best if they were participating as regular members, but GAC participating as regular members in working groups is still a learning experience for all of us. I mean, so, you know, it's a time for the robustness principle and sort of to be kind of liberal in the behavior we accept from our new GAC participants, and sort of conservative in what sort of feedback we give them about their levels of participation. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. That's exactly part of the thinking that went into this approach. It was a quiet diplomacy, and we, as you see, this was the intent, was to get them involved, and we got a response. We're not going to stop here, just for the group's purpose. I actually asked Cintra to make the connection on my behalf. So, you're quite right. It was with that, the things that you said in mind, that it was approached. Okay, we're kind of exhausted on that issue. Can we go now to point number three? Tijani noted that there has been no updates on the wiki, and that is an issue, yes. But we are supposing that even with what is there, we are trying very hard to be exhaustive about criteria definition, because we want it to be tight at the end of the day. Recall that we still have a mid-May timeline to report something, a partial report, which will include criteria put to bed, at least as best as we can, as well as a process put to bed, as best as we can. So now.
Alton, I have my hand up, it's too late.
Can we go to, yes, I see that. Can we go to criteria? I have Elaine, Avery, and Cintra. Elaine, you have the floor.
Thanks. So I do have a comment, and I have made one minor edit to the criteria on the wiki, and that is under qualification, the paragraph where it says the main criterion for evaluation is need to be declared financially needy, an applicant should have a mean of total net profit over the last 3 years of less than or equal to $100,000. And the next paragraph says they should have a mean of total profit of more or equal to $70,000. There's a comment below that says the values are arbitrary and don't have a scientific explanation. My comment is, if we cannot provide a reason for this criteria, it should not be included. So I think we either need to back up these statements of these dollar amounts with some reasoning, or strike it and start again.
Okay. Thank you, Lane. Avery.
Yes, thank you. That's actually a good point, and it kind of fits in with what I was doing. I mean, I started to get organized on the wiki and find my way to getting things together. And one of the things that I had is, you know, I still need to go back and re-listen and listen to some of the calls and re-listen to others, because I was trying to understand to what extent the conversations had modified these criteria. No one had made any notations to these criteria, so I was wondering to what extent these were actually the criteria that the group had accepted, or, you know, as I say, I still need to listen and see what their changes. So Elaine's point is really quite good, and part of the work I did in getting ready to was find all the recordings, get them listed, and start reorganizing things. So that was my main question, is what is on this page now, to what extent have you all changed these criteria? And I guess one of the things to look at is this $70,000 USD requirement, as Elaine just mentioned. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. Sintra?
Thanks, Carlton. When Dev and I were going through this step to create the flowchart, we realized that a lot of the changes, a lot was discussed in San Francisco in that face-to-face discussion, and I don't know if it was captured, but I think we did go through the evaluation of the criteria and that kind of thing. At least we started it, but I don't see that reflected in the wiki document. So I don't know, I mean, maybe we should refer back to the notes from that day, or, you know, I don't know how exactly it's encapsulated in the flowchart. So we kept it quite loose, under the understanding that that bit will change in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Andrew?
Yes, two things. First of all is, to Avery's question, I don't believe that these are things that we have all really agreed on in their final form. I think that there were suggestions put out as markers for us to discuss, but I don't recall having we discussed them. I don't think we really agreed on them. I agree to Elaine's point that we need to have some sort of a reasoning behind which we put our financial markers. And if I understand this correctly, and maybe I'm missing it, but it sounds as if we're saying that entities need to have at least 70,000 and no more than 100,000. That seems like a very small window, and it just strikes me that we're asking them to thread a needle that is maybe unthreadable. What is when we were in San Francisco, we talked about the idea of not having a bottom threshold, I think it was, because we already had the bottom threshold of being financially able to do this, so, you know, financially stable enough to do this. So really, I thought what we had agreed was we were only talking about the top threshold. Does everyone remember that as I do? Anyway, that's my point. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Let me take the comment from Tijani. Tijani?
Thank you. As Sandra said, and as Andrew said also, in San Francisco, we discussed it at length. And the rationale, the reason of the bottom threshold was because when I prepared the very first draft, the members of the group told me that we have also to set up a low threshold, because people who doesn't have money to run the string, they we cannot help them. That's why it was set here. And the figures I put here are only indicative. I told you in San Francisco, and we agreed in San Francisco that we have to evaluate the whole amount of money needed for an application, and we have to take the 50% or 30% that we have said that we have put in our milestone report as self-funding as the threshold. And there was another issue. The issue was about things that we cannot quantify. And we said we will put the amount of things that we can quantify, and we mention the other component of the price and say that the applicant have to self fund 50% or 30% of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I'm glad you say that because I was involved from the earliest in drafting that. The numbers were placed there really as markers. They were placed there almost as if they were lightning rods for the discussion because we had nothing to look towards. And when it was originally drafted by Tijani, I did some inputs as well as Sintra. The numbers were deliberately placed there, and we made that to be provocative. Here is the issue. If you are going to qualify someone on the basis of need, you have to have a point, a low point in which you say the need begins. I don't know what that is, but that's about money. And the question was to the group, what is the low point at which you will begin to qualify need? And that is why we had the low point there, because everybody thought there was going to be a low point. We pulled that out of the air because we thought it would represent at least a certain percentage of what was required to make the application, as Tijani said. And that was it. So if we are looking for further and better particulars on the benchmark for need. Andrew, are you still up with your hand, or you want to come back?
No, I'm sorry. I thought I'd take my hand down. My apologies.
Okay, so we move to Elaine.
Thank you. So I understand that figuring out the criteria of how to define need is difficult because we've been doing this for about a year now and we still haven't answered that question. But the problem with this window of between 70,000 and 100,000 is, Andrew said, is a very small target to hit. And I think that it would actually it would hinder people who would qualify, who would actually have the application. So I want to get back to some email threads that I saw earlier where Mike Silber was involved and was discussing not only should we be considering need, but is the application serving a community? And I don't see that in our criteria at all. And so I'm wondering if that's if that was a consensus position,
that,
and if we're going to include that in the qualification.
If you look at the document, the flowchart, that is the principal reason. I have maintained that the reason we are involved in this is principally a political one, and I say that directly. It is the rationale for having this is that we want to be inclusive. We want to have people who are disadvantaged and at the edge included. And cost is a barrier to their inclusion. So that is the principal qualification. Would this application address the needs of people who should, by policy, made some affirmative move to include them? And once you make that decision and they have a financial need, then it goes into the funnel. That's how I see it. That's how the flow chart sees it. It's important, though, for those who think that you don't have the cost component, you need to suggest a better window. So the 70 to 100 will not work, and we're open-minded about that because it's a placeholder. It's actually a tease.
Thanks, Tim.
So tell us which one. Avery.
Okay, yeah, I'm about to drop off.
But so as far as I see it at the moment, we're basically talking about a window that goes from XX to YY, and we really don't have any notion of why any particular number would be good. I guess the question I would challenge people to is, do we really see, A, the ability to actually get an accurate financial picture of someone in terms of having this much money, and we're talking about overall money versus budgeted money versus whatever, and is this really a workable way to do it? And I don't know the answer to that, but at the moment, I don't see how we do this financial investigation. I think we really need to figure out who, what, where does this kind of thing, and then we can get into, is there a reasonable financial criteria that we can have a, as it were, you know, reasonable financial suggestion for? And is it overall income? Is it excess income? Is it, I mean, I don't know, but I don't think money on hand, cash on hand, is necessarily, you know, the best, and especially given the timing of that. So, and for myself, I'll continue moving forward on the work. I'm moving slowly, but I am moving. And sorry, I have to drop off. This will be the case for me every 2 weeks. I've got a work engagement at the half hour, a meeting, every 2 weeks, and given the need to support myself, I got to go to that meeting. So, bye-bye.
Thank you, Avery. I want to put my, to say clearly what my thinking is on need. The idea of need in this context, as financial has been the chief need to me, is problematic because it's difficult to assess. I've always thought so. Need is, in my opinion, is a part of the political framework. Nothing more, nothing less. And it is the political framework that determines the need, more so than finance. That's my feeling about it. Sintra.
Hi, Carlton. I would like to echo your point. I think financial need is not the only criteria, but it is one of them. I know we've put a lot of emphasis in the past on it, but I think we also need to direct our minds to the other criteria in building out a framework that really encourages development of IDNs and different areas that cannot necessarily, different organizations, public-private initiatives that cannot necessarily justify the need, even though need is crucial and important as well to our group. Dev and I did have a problem with this. If you look at the detailed flowchart, the interpretation was more yes, no to each of them. My view is that this should not be the case, and it should be a weighted criteria, so that you may not match all five of the criteria, but if you match three out of five, we will give special consideration. So rather than say you drop out because of lack of financial need, you can still be considered if you match the other, if you are also developing an IDN or any of the other criteria that we decide. So it's weighted rather than a flowchart. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to mention, the flowchart is listed, is there in the Adobe Connect chat space that people can get to from the chat space. Having said that, can we go to Alan?
Yeah, thank you. I agree with Avery that it's difficult to decide what the right criteria is, assuming there is a right criteria. The concept, though, of coming up with logic to justify why the particular levels were selected, I think is not something we can do. This is, to some extent, an arbitrary exercise. You know, and I don't think there's an absolute amount that will say, yes, you are needy, or no, you aren't, assuming we figured out what it is we're measuring anyway. On the other hand, once we have some level of some idea of what it is we're trying to measure, the lower bound is going to be set to a large extent by how much overall money I can or whoever is providing it has to divide up. It's not going to help us to set a number so low so that we have far more applicants than we can address and support. The whole concept that we started up with is there's not going to be, you know, we're not going to have 90% of all applicants meet the criteria. So clearly there is some level of arbitrariness that is going to be associated with it, which has to do with, number one, just coming up with a number, and second of all, making sure that it ends up with a set of applicants that we can actually support. So, I don't think we're ever going to come up with a logical reason for this is why we picked 72.6, or, you know, whatever the numbers are. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Carlton, this is Evan.
Yes, Evan, let me just go to Andrew and Alex and then to you.
Okay.
Evan, you haven't spoken yet. Do you want to go in now?
Well,
I don't mind.
I can't get into Adobe Connect, so I've tried to ping people in Skype that I've had my hand up for a bit.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Evan. Well, can you go ahead? The others have decided that you can run. I'm sorry about that. I'm blinded by Adobe right now.
Sorry, Andrew. Anyway, I'll keep
not at all.
To the topic in mind. We've seen all sorts of potential applicants step forward, saying that the moment that the application guidebook becomes real, these people are going to put in applications. Do we have any examples that anyone in this group knows about of an organization that wants to do a TLD but is unable to do so because of the current financial obstacles that are in the process? Like, do we have any concrete examples of someone that's saying, boy, I'd really like to do a TLD, and it really serves this function that's a desired goal of the community, but I can't do it because it's just too expensive? Do we have any of those examples? I mean, wouldn't it help to target some real-world cases, as we start setting these numbers? Setting the numbers through as Alan says, we're speculating and guessing. Couldn't the guess be a little bit more educated by listening to people that are out there who would be the initial beneficiaries of a program like this?
I thank you, Evan. I totally agree that would be very helpful indeed. And if anybody can invite people who they know who might be willing to provide this data, it would be very useful. I think so. But this is the kind of intervention that is necessary in trying to pin down this financial need requirement. So I fully endorse that suggestion, and would hope that anybody in the know, or maybe we can develop a mechanism to get that data brought to us. So we can take that as a reference point. Andrew.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Alex has mentioned that we had a couple of examples from the African continent of groups that had expressed some interest should this move forward as we were expecting. And Alex, I'm sorry I don't have them off the top of my head, but I do remember that a couple of them. I take your point, Evan, but I'm not as concerned in that since so much of this is still appears mushy to the outside world, I can understand why people are sitting on the sidelines before they say this is what we need. That said, I had a concrete suggestion because the more I think about these arbitrary numbers of I agree, Alan, that we're going to have to make some arbitrary choices, but we want to make them as easy as possible for ourselves, not just and as transparent as possible to the outside world. So here's a thought. Tell me what everybody thinks. Is that rather than trying to get data from each individual organization or applicant on the basis of their income, which varies for a whole host of reasons based on their tax status, their jurisdiction, the way they do their accounting, and a whole host of other things, right? Maybe something along the lines of the size of the organization, the size of its as opposed to its income, its size of overall financial resources. Maybe that might make more sense. In looking at it, I think that that's probably a better gauge of their sustainability, and also it takes us to who they are, not just the income that they have in a particular given year. Anyway, that's just my suggestion. Thanks.
Can I just have a size is very problematic. What if it were a foundation that is a very small foundation but richly endowed? That's just something to think about.
No. Just to be clear, I'm sorry, Cousin. The size of the organization would be the size of its reserves, the size of its program, not the number of people that work for it. It's just my thought being only that there, as an example, in a foundation where you have, there may be no income in a particular given year or very limited income and a lot of outflow. It doesn't mean that they don't have resources. And we talked about the idea of potentially having a public-private partnership or some sort of a coalition that comes together to launch one of these things, especially in an area where we may where the community is relatively smaller. In a situation like that, the whole thing may be new, so that a more appropriate gauge of their capacity would be the size of their reserves, not what money came in to an organization that maybe didn't exist 6 months earlier. That's all.
Okay.
Trying to make a practical suggestion.
Okay. That's a suggestion that's taken on board. Alex, can we go to you quickly? We're running toward the end
of this
session.
Alex speaking. I think we went around this problem at San Francisco in quite some depth, and my recollection is that we said that instead of coming up with a specific figure, in which case it introduces the problem that Elaine is saying, we either justify or drop it off, again, repeated by Avery and Alan, I think we could come up with a percentage where we say, for example, these applicants need to be charged 50% of the application fee, et cetera, et cetera. That's just an example to just say percentage-wise. And therefore, then the problem of trying to come up with a specific figure, ceases to distract us so that we have the criteria, but we have not gone to figures because we appreciated how difficult it is to start getting the data and suggesting a figure. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Just let me paraphrase this. So what you're saying is once we have determined that an application, the objective of an application is one that we support for inclusion and all the other good reasons, we simply say that we will support this application with a reduction in fee to 50% or some percentage. Is that a reasonable phrase of what you're saying?
Yes, let me rephrase. Instead of using the 50%, let's say they can be charged, X percentage of the other one, so that I don't appear to be saying they should be charged 50%. But that's precisely what I mean. And then we leave that to the same dynamics of the figures, how they are being worked out on the guidebook and everywhere else, and we move on, and we'll have developed our criteria pretty easily.
Okay.
So whatever figure is arrived at for the general or the other applicants, then we know this is X minus Y or something like that, or a certain percentage of that thereabouts. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Elaine.
Thank you. So I have a couple of responses to issues raised. The first thing is somebody asked for examples of potential applicants that meet our outline criteria right now. I can talk about two that I'm aware of. The first that might be interesting is a .curd top-level domain for the Kurd community in northern Iraq. So I think they would meet the cultural or ethnic community criteria we have, where we're saying that those applicants should receive support. And knowing a little bit about this application, I think if we say, they need to raise 50% or 70% of the application fee, they will go out and raise to whatever value we say. So if I'm told I have to help them find, you know, 50% of the application fee, I'm going to work really hard to get to that number, and then I'm going to stop. I'm not going to go find investors beyond that 50%. I'm just saying that's how it is, not that that's wrong or right or the way we want to manage things, but that's how I see that playing out. The other part is I don't think the size is indicative of success or failure. Currently, my company is publicly traded on the London Stock Exchange and valued in the millions of dollars, and there are only three of us. So I don't know if if we can say size, you know, size would be a limiting factor or a representative factor of success. Another top-level domain application that I'm aware of is for the .Zulu, which would be for the Zulu tribe in Africa. Again, they would meet this community-based application criteria, and I don't think they're having any problems at all coming up with the application fee. So going along with what Andrew was saying, it does make sense. I'm sorry, maybe it was Alan. It does make sense for us to actually see these applications come through, and then if we have a set amount of money or resources that we can allocate based on, you know, the worthiness of that application serving a community that otherwise would have trouble. And believe me, anybody who's applying for a top-level domain is going to have trouble coming up with that money. If we determine that it's based on, you know, are they going to serve a particular community first, I think that might be the correct way of thinking about it.
Thank you, Lynn. Well, let me just kind of summarize the discussion. Discussion really is about how do we set financial criteria, financial need criteria. It is well recognized that the numbers that are on the wiki were placeholders and they were meant to be lightning rod. I will tell you quite frankly that my interest was to start and foment a conversation because I have never believed that that was a rational way to determine it. It should not be this most important criteria. I have always believed that the other criteria, which is the objectives, and they're all political, are the ones that should be embraced and strongly embraced, and we should fill those out as best as possible. Others have suggested that we should have it, and so we're asking for those who think we should have it, let's hear what your definition of that window is. It's the wiki's there, put it up. There are people who believe that size of the organization should be an issue in criteria development. Yes, I could see that, but again, if you have a specific way to figure out what that baseline is, please put it on the wiki. There are others who believe that the application fees and so on, a reasonable way to look at all of that is to say that you're going to give a specific percentage of the cost of the application that is qualified through the process as the financial contribution. Maybe that will work. I don't know. But these are all examples that are up there for discussion. I would suggest to you that if you have any qualifying points or any elaborative content to the criteria, let's put it on the wiki for all to see. I really urge you to do that. Can we move very quickly to the point number four, and it's the flowchart. You've seen the flowchart. It was the link was placed in the Adobe chat space. The first thing that came out of that is the binary nature of the flowchart. Sintra already raised the issue that it seems that there
It's the decision is binary. She would prefer to see a more weighted criteria for qualification and not as the flowchart suggests. Are there other views? I see Elaine, I see Cintra.
Thanks. So I just noticing one thing on this flowchart, the last bullet point on the top, a number of factors may also be assessed, wages, research development, training, gender balance. So that's not part of the preference, is it? That's part of determining if the organization is worthy. Where did that come from and how does that fit? Could you help me understand that? Thanks.
Syndrome.
Hey, can you just tell me where exactly, which one are you looking at? Which flowchart is it, the overview, the simplified step one, or the detailed step one?
I was looking at the step one, the link that was put in the chat window, step one of simplified flowchart.
Okay. Okay, so you're looking at under other factors, gender, is that it?
Sorry, what did you say?
The last bullet, where it says a number of factors may also be assessed?
Yes, that's the one.
Cintra, do you see it? It's the last bullet in that first thing on the right-hand side that's opposite the box that says preference given to applicants meeting certain criteria.
Right. I think that was put in as on the wiki, but I mean, it's just really for us to decide whether or not we are waiting, say, NGOs that you know, that are formed by women, or, you know, if we want to make that as part of our criteria. None of these criteria are solid, right? It's just really for us to assess which ones we want to consider, which ones we want to give more weight to, which ones we want to remove. Is that answer? I mean,
Inter, are you still on?
Maybe the chair who has dropped off.
I think
Andrew, you want to step in briefly?
I think she's still on.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you heard me previously, right?
Well, Elaine asked the question, so
I see it was pulled off the criteria in the wiki, but
right.
I don't understand.
The criteria is just a reflection of what was on the wiki. So what is in the social is just a reflection of that. It has not been updated since the San Francisco meeting. So, you know, all these criteria are still fluid. It's still up for us to decide whether or not they should be included or not.
Okay, I see that it's in the criteria. I hadn't seen that before, and I don't think that has much to do with the actual what we want to discuss, which is the flowchart right now. So
okay.
I'm happy with that response. Thanks.
Okay. Alan, you're next, sir.
I'm going to ask what I may be a radical question at this point. Looking at the flowchart, which, is, as Cintra says, is just a summary of what we've been discussing, do we really believe that we can decide on whether we should be supporting an application based purely on the applicant? which is essentially what this is saying, and not what it is they're trying to do, or what target, what goal they're trying to meet.
No, I pointed that out already, Alan.
Well, I know it's been, I'm not the first one to discuss it, but we, it drops off every time it has been raised, and that is clearly a subjective issue, so it's hard. Sorry, someone else was talking, I don't know who.
I'm sorry, if you could just look at the JAS overview, that is a better flowchart to look at, because that encapsulates all the steps, rather than just looking at step one, which was criteria.
If you can give us a URL, I can look at it. Can you tell us where to find this overview?
It was the first link, and I just copied it again.
JAS overview.
Now, I did mention the last time that there may be aspects of our process that will cover part of the GAG process. The proposal is in step two that we assess the applicant's application, the application rather than the applicant, which in that case we'll have to actually do some preliminary work to ensure that the application is complete, as well as do some aspects of the background screening. I don't know whether or not that is agreed by the group, or if it's something that you consider.
Alan, are you satisfied with the response?
No, because we're still talking about the applicant. I mean, you can be the best applicant in the world who has an interesting track record and you clearly need money, but you're trying to do something stupid, and it's nothing that I can or other funders are likely to put any money into. And somewhere in the process, there needs to be a way of coming to that conclusion.
Yeah, my way of looking at it is that if somebody come up and said they wanted to have a PLD for Klingon, then clearly it would not meet the criteria that I think is required here.
Right, but if they're a good enough organization, they may pass all these tests.
Precisely. The central thing is the objective of the application.
Guys, I'm next in line. Can I jump in? Because I have something I think that would be useful here.
Yes, Andrew.
Thank you very much. Alan, what you say is absolutely true, although I am sure that there are a number of people, including many who go to ICANN conferences, who would feel strongly about the Klingon community having a voice, at least in theory. That said...
And I would say, yes, they should, but I'm not sure I want my money put into it.
I'm with you. You can't see me, but I've got a big smile on. Here's the thing. I mean, what we've got is effectively a two- or three-step process that I think we shouldn't short-circuit. The first question is, are they eligible, right? If they're not eligible, it's not worth our time to evaluate whether or not this is something worth doing. If they're not eligible, they're not eligible, right?
Right.
Then the second, my thought would be to try to divvy this up into small steps. The first question is, are they eligible on the basis of some relatively easily measurable external criteria? Then the second question is around whether or not they should be, you know, given priority, I guess you could say, because when it comes down to it, there will be a limited number of resources, and there will likely be more people who are eligible than we have resources for. And so some sort of ranking, and this is what gets to the pieces in Sintra's top slide, some sort of ranking is kind of implied by this, almost as, you know, like a scorecard. And I wonder, since the scorecard idea is used in ICANN world anyway, whether we don't just go in that direction and say, okay, there's a scorecard, and, you know. But we want to make it as I think we want to make it possible for people to do this. So that's my sense is that there are actually two separate questions, one and then the other. you know? We get into slightly sticky ground when we're talking about whether the thing is worth doing. I think the obvious cases are ones where there are obvious cases where we would agree that it's probably not worth supporting. But then there are a lot of gray areas or a lot of areas where people have very strong personal interests where I think that might be a lot harder to make that determination. I'm not sure necessarily if we want that job. Make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. But, Andrew, can I ask you to put those comments on the wiki? Because I think they're very, very, very good. They serve a very good role of frameworking what the process
is. Sure.
It would be useful for you to put it on the wiki because we've talked around this for some time. Alan, you still have your hand up. It's a minute
This is a new one, and it will be very short.
Okay.
What Andrew describes is just fine. But it hasn't been put in our documentation before, at least not in a clear way, and I think that's important. But there's two other issues. Number one, we're now getting into an area of subjective evaluation, something that ICANN abhors and doesn't want to be in a position of making decisions and then being criticized by the community for making those decisions. So that's a difficult thing to do. The second thing I'll point out is we had a target of middle May to deliver a work product. And at this rate, we're not going to get there, so we may as well throw up our hands and say, you know, there's nothing going to happen for the first round unless we change our methodology and decide how we're going to get something out really quickly. Otherwise, we're just wasting time on these calls right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I hear you, Alan, but one of the things is this is the quintessential political exercise. And people have to talk through it, and people have to come to some kind of determination as what is. I don't know any other way to do it unless you're going to, but I personally would have a way to tell you what I would do, but it's not for me to say. It's for the members of the group to come up.
I'm pointing out is I agree with you that we need to talk through it, and it's a difficult question. I'm just pointing out there is a deadline hanging over our heads.
Yes, I acknowledge the deadline, and I think we talk some more and write some more, then we will probably, by another week or so, see something taking shape. That's my hope. So we're going to continue to encourage people to talk and encourage people to write. Put it online on the wiki. It's important for us to do that. It's top of the hour, it's a minute after 9 by my watch. I would just say to you that the next call was on Friday. We will use the typical timing to do the reports from the various subgroups, and we will get back as quickly as we can to this criteria as well. There being no other hands up, I want to thank you all for joining this call. I probably will not be around on Friday. I am on the road. I might be in the Bahamas in a workshop, so I probably can't join the call. So that being said, thank you all for joining this call. The call is ended.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.